Hello guys, my name is Ibrahim, and I'm going to be talking about the capital of Azerbaijan, Baku. What to do there, where to go, all of that. I feel like this is an important topic to address since recently certain big tourist destinations like Turkey have experienced a decrease in tourism due to the instability and numerous terrorist attacks that have taken place, and because many tourists are looking for new places to visit that have not been visited previously. Italy, Hungary, France, Austria, all of those places are nice, but we know what to expect. Many people have already been there and can be pretty expensive. Plus, many of these European countries were also hit by the recent wave of terrorism, which may have made places like Paris and London feel less safe for many tourists. So, taking all of these things into account, Azerbaijan can step up and replace a few of these places as a tourist destination. Overall, a little bit about Azerbaijan. The name itself roughly translates to the land of fire, or protector of fire, and there's a very good reason for that. For centuries, fire has been spewing out of the ground in many places throughout the country. Some of the notable places are Yanardağ and Ateşgah, which is a Zoroastrian and Hindu fire temple. Additionally, many have reported seeing fire come out of the earth while waiting at like a bus stop or something, so it's understandable why people have worshipped fire here for centuries. Obviously, there are other theories about the origin of our name, but we'll stick to this one for the purposes of this podcast. The reason why I mention this is that Azerbaijan is one of the few places you can go to and find Zoroastrian temples. They actually made the temple of Ateşgah into a sort of museum, where they go through all the cool traditions and rituals they used to go through. Of course, someone's going to ask me, "Well, Ibrahim, why would I go to Azerbaijan, a place no one has ever heard of, and not visit a place like Iran or India that also have Zoroastrian temples?" Well, I would say that Azerbaijan is a country that has all of the luxuries of a European tourist destination. There are no strict dress codes like in Iran. No one's going to arrest you for some crazy reasons. There are clean bathrooms, nice European-style hotels, and all the accommodations you could ask for. I feel like I have been going pretty slow about blazing through all the places to visit in Baku, so I'm going to hurry up. Go to Yanardağ, go to Ateşgah, take some cool flicks, post them on Snapchat, and then you can go to the Gobustan National Park, which is on the UNESCO World Heritage List, by the way. So, Gobustan looks like the place where all the movies and cartoons about the hunter-gatherers are made. There are the rock drawings that go back tens of thousands of years, and also has more than half of the entire world's mud volcanoes, so you should go check those out. There's also this very ancient musical instrument, which is a rock that when you like hit it, it makes a pretty cool sound, which people have been using to make music since ancient times. There's also this rock carving left by the Thunderbolt 12th Legion of the Roman army in Gobustan, and it's actually speculated that the settlement of Ramana in Azerbaijan is made by these Romans. Anyways, now back to the actual city part of Baku, to another UNESCO World Heritage Site, which is the Old City. The Old City, similarly, is a historic part of Baku, where you can walk around, visit the museums, take pictures, all of that. I really suggest you go and take a picture in one of our hats. It costs like $2 to take the picture, but it's definitely worth it. Then I would definitely advise you to go to the Maiden Tower. It's like the jewel of the city. They made it also into a sort of museum, but this place has some crazy theories made about it that you could check out when you go inside. There are legends, and even some people said that aliens have built it, since when you look at it from a bird's eye perspective, it represents one of the national symbols of Azerbaijan, the Buta. And also because the roof looks like a landing place for a UFO. But enough about ancient aliens. Then you could go to the Palace of Shirvanshahs, where you can walk around, and look and learn about what it was like living in the Palace of a Shah. I don't see a reason to go too much into detail, since most of the things are explained by English-speaking tour guides or written in English, so I will not spoil the fun. Go check it out. Then there are tons of museums you could visit, like the Carpet Museum, which is worth going to since Azeri carpet weaving is also on the Intangible Cultural Heritage List of the UNESCO. Then the Heydar Aliyev Center, which is a pretty interesting building in terms of modern architecture, but also has some pretty interesting things to see inside. I personally would focus on the historic and cultural parts of the museum, and wouldn't really go to the parts that have our 20th century accomplishments, but it's up to you. Then there are a couple of history museums you could visit. None of them are too expensive, so you could go there and take a look. You'll bump into some weird things here and there, like a helmet with a radius of 8 inches. I'm not sure who had a head that big, but I'm not going to judge any of them. But other than that, unless you're very interested in history, the museums are only interesting for those of us who want to see how our ancestors used to live. Going to the Maiden Tower, going to the Palace of Shirvanshahs, and walking around the Old City is more than enough history for those of us who just want surface-level knowledge. But I personally suggest going to the Gala Archaeological and Ethnographic Museum Complex, since it has lots of interesting things to check out. Plus, I'm pretty sure on your way there, there's a little shish kebab place that you could go to. By the way, speaking of food, that's probably one of the biggest factors why people come to visit Azerbaijan. But one thing you have to understand is that Azeris aren't really fast food people, although I definitely suggest checking out Döner and the Kutab. So when you order food, you're going to be getting big dinners, so don't expect to get off with $5 to $10. I suggest being ready to pay at least $15 to $20 if there are only two of you, but with that you'll be getting a drink, a whole giant meal, snacks, everything. There are lots of restaurants in Baku, but which ones to go to specifically I can't really remember off the top of my head, but I definitely suggest going to several of them. Now, what food should you try? I will first list the ones we are specifically known for, which are mostly meat meals, but then I will go to more vegetarian friendly choices, since the menus in Baku often give the original names that don't really explain much about what the actual food is. I personally suggest piti, khengyal, saj, düşbere, bozbaş, and dolma, although there are many, many others that you could order if you would like. Our plov, or ash, which is the same thing, is a must that you have to try, but the issue is that we have over 40 different variations, so when you ask for a plov, they will either give you the classic version, or they will ask listing the more popular variations. The kebab is also important to try, since our kebab has certain interesting elements to it that differentiates it from the kebabs of other countries. If they do ask, specify for the kebab to be a lamb kebab, and I'll also suggest to get some vegetables like potatoes and tomatoes. For the ultimate experience, ask them for guyuluh with the potatoes or eggplants or whatever other vegetables you're going to be getting. Guyuluh, by the way, means tail. In Azerbaijan, our sheep have pretty fat tails that we chop up and put inside of the potato or eggplant kebab, and the result is definitely something to behold. Now the vegetarian meals. The meatless foods include acep sender, kükü, çığırtma, yetimçe, and several eggplant meals that you could ask for. And then the previously mentioned kutab. The thing with the kutab is that it can be made with almost anything. Some eat it with meat, others eat the green kutabs, which is yashil kutab, and then you could ask for a pumpkin kutab. A weird one that I had encountered last summer, which was actually extremely good, is the chestnut kutab. I was confused when I was first told what I was getting, but when I ate it, I was like, wow, that's actually pretty great. But enough about those. A breakfast in Azerbaijan is quite different from breakfast in other countries. For example, you could ask for a çığırtma, which is a category of Azeri omelets, or you could ask for my personal all-time favorite, pamdol yumurta. It's nothing too complicated, but its simplicity is what makes it good. It's basically a tomato omelet, but from what I've seen on the internet, Azeris make it sort of differently, and that's why the tomato omelets that you see on the internet sort of differ from the ones that I've seen in Baku. Also, you could ask for things like dovra, ayran, gatır, and many other dairy products. They will almost always bring tomatoes, bread, and the Azeri variations of cheese that you could snack on before the main meal comes. You could also ask for shoran lavash and the tandir bread. The bread will most likely be given to you by default anyways, but just it's good to ask. A regular omelet is often eaten with honey or sugar, which sounds really weird until you try it. Before I wrap this up, I just want to mention the most important thing about going to Baku. Walk, walk, walk. The boulevard is super beautiful, especially at night. I personally never go tired of walking there. Look at the world's second largest flag while on the boulevard and simply enjoy the view. Then go into the Fountain Square and continue walking. I suggest against going there at around 1 p.m. in the middle of the summer, since it can get quite hot. At night, all the lights come on and it gets very pretty. You could also go to the many beaches of Baku, like Nardaran and Şıxıl. There's also the Baku Funicular, which you can ask a taxi driver to take you to. It takes you to a very beautiful park on the top of a hill. It's sort of like a train that takes you upward, and there is a very nice view of the city from there. By the way, the taxi drivers know the city like the back of their hand, so if you will name any of these places to them, they will be more than willing to help you get there. You could also go to a çayhana, which is where Azeris go to stay away from the sun. It's basically a tea house, but it has a very Azeri feel to it, with carpets and decorations everywhere. Many also offer hookah sessions, which are fairly cheap, so if you would like to smoke, you can. Azeris are pretty creative with their flavors, so you could experiment with those. There is also a large assortment of mosques you could go visit that are pretty neat in terms of architecture, like the Bibi Bat Mosque, Tezepir, and the Heydan Mosque. If you would like to, you could also go to the synagogues and churches of Baku that include both Catholic and Orthodox churches. I'm going to be honest. In terms of language, the younger generations tend to know more English than the older ones. So if you bump into a 50-year-old taxi driver, don't expect him to speak to you in English. But you should be okay in general. Most Azeris know how to speak Russian and Turkish, so if you would like to communicate using those two languages, that works too. That's about it for now. This tour only includes Baku and is only a surface level description. There are far more things to do, but these are the main ones. By the way, for those of you living in New York, Azal has direct flights to Azerbaijan, and this airline has a pretty good reputation, so I suggest using that one. There are also direct flights from other countries, but you should just check on Google because I'm not going to list all of them here. I wish you all a safe flight. Salam.